Yesterday I saw this movie of Srila Prabhupada before his departure. It's a few days before, and it's Srila Prabhupada is like 30 kilograms. He's just bones, and what he's doing, he's on his bed, and he's dictating Srimad Bhagavatam. Because probably he thinks it's important. So that's why sometimes we also study Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, so we have text Canto 8, chapter 9, text 29. The Lord incarnates as Mohini Murti. So let's see what this text tells us. Okay, we'll skip the Devanagari because we don't speak. Most of us. Yad yujate suvasu karma mano vachovir. Dehatma jadishu nribistadasat prittakvat. Taireva sadbhavati yat kriyate prittakvat. Sarvasya tad bhavati mula nishachanam yat. Okay. Yat, whatever, yujate, is performed, asu, for the protection of one's life, vasu, protection of wealth, karma, activities, manaha, by the acts of the mind, vachobihi, by the acts of the word, deha atma jadishu, for the sake of one's personal body or family, etc., with reference to the body. Nribihi, by the human beings. Tat, that. Asat, impermanent, transient. Pritaktvat, because of separation from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tai, by the same activities. Eva, indeed. Satpavati, becomes factual and permanent. Yat, which. Kriyate, is performed. Apritaktvat, because of non-separation. Sarvasya, for everyone. Tad bhavati, becomes beneficial. Mulanishachanam, exactly like pouring water on the root of a tree. Yat, which. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Shri Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. In human society, there are various activities performed for the protection of one's wealth and life by one's words, one's mind, and one's actions. But they are all performed for one's personal or extended sense gratification with reference to the body. All these activities are baffled because of being separate from devotional service. But when the same activities are performed for the satisfaction of the Lord, the beneficial results are distributed to everyone, just as water poured on the root of a tree is distributed throughout the entire tree. Purport. This is the distinction between materialistic activities and activities performed in Krishna consciousness. The entire world is active, and this includes the karmis, the jnanis, the yogis, and the bhaktas. However, all activities except those of the bhaktas, the devotees, end in bafflement and a waste of time and energy. Mogasha moga karmano moga jnana vicheta saha. If one is not a devotee, his hopes, his activities, and his knowledge are all baffled. A non-devotee works for his personal sense gratification or for the sense gratification of his family, society, community, or nation. But because all such activities are separate from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they are considered asat. The word asat means bad or temporary, and sat means permanent or and good. Activities performed for the satisfaction of Krishna are permanent and good, but asat activity, although sometimes celebrated as philanthropy, altruism, nationalism, this-ism or that-ism, will never produce any permanent result and is therefore all bad. Even a little work done in Krishna consciousness is a permanent asset and is all good because it is done for Krishna, the all good Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is everyone's friend, Suhridam Sarva Bhutanam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the only enjoyer and proprietor of everything. Bhoktaram Yagyatapasam Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. Therefore, any activity performed for the Supreme Lord is permanent. As a result of such activities, the performer is immediately recognized. Nachatasman manusheshu kashchin me priya kritamaha. Such a devotee, because of full knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is immediately transcendental, although he may superficially appear to be engaged in materialistic activities. The only distinction between materialistic activities and spiritual activity is that material activity is performed only to satisfy one's own senses, whereas spiritual activity is meant to satisfy the transcendental senses of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By spiritual activity, everyone factually benefits, whereas by material activity, no one benefits, and instead one becomes entangled in the laws of karma. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta Purports of the 8th canto, 9th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Lord Incarnates as Mohini Murti. It's a very nice text because it gives us maybe very important part of Krishna consciousness in a nutshell. And this parallel of giving water to the root of the tree. Because everyone is looking for happiness, but they don't know how to be happy. You go into the city, and sometimes I ask them, how's your karma today? And sometimes there's some person who is like, very good. you see his suffering, you see his like miserable, but very good, very good. He's grumbling there, he's totally unhappy. And then you try to tell him, oh, you're unhappy because you don't have Krishna in your life. No. I'm happy. First, I'm happy. Oh, how can you dare to say I'm not happy? No, I don't need Krishna. So, yeah, this is the formula. If you pour water on the root of the tree, then all the branches will have energy, will be happy. And if you don't put the water at the root, we try to put water on the leaves. Yeah. I heard something is happening, but still. The whole tree will get dried, so yeah, none of the leaves will be happy. So this is the formula. This is so all we have to do is to try to please Krishna. This is our purpose in life. If we are intelligent, we understand this philosophy. We say, okay, it's clear. I have to please Krishna, and then everything will be okay. If Krishna is pleased, everything is okay. So how is Krishna pleased? So Krishna is pleased by devotional service. Yes, it's service, but it's devotional. It has to be devotional. Very important. Because the key ingredient of this is bhakti. Otherwise, if there is no bhakti, then Krishna will not be so impressed. Classical example is Duryodhana and Vidura. So Krishna goes to Duryodhana to negotiate peace as a last attempt before the battle of Kurukshetra. And Duryodhana is his usual self. He doesn't want to have peace. But after he invites Krishna for lunch. So you assume in the royal court they have something to provide for lunch. Maybe a bit, probably they have a bit more of what we have for Govardhan Puja. So they have different varieties, all the foods, everything perfect according to material standards. And so Duryodhana invites Krishna for lunch and Krishna says, no, thank you, no. I don't want. And what is Krishna doing? He goes to Vidura. And he goes to Vidura. Vidura, I'm very hungry, very hungry. Give me something to eat. And Vidura looks, I don't have anything. I don't have anything. Check, just look, see what you can give. He says, I have some bananas. Oh, this is good. Perfect, exactly. I wanted some bananas. So, Vidura, he's a devotee, he's very ecstatic that he has Krishna in his house. And, he takes this banana and he peels them and, he throws the bananas and gives the peels to Krishna. Not to be imitated. So he's, throwing the bananas and, he gives the peels to Krishna and Krishna is eating. very good bananas. Why? Because the king radiant was there. Because of Vidura, he was so much in ecstasy and so happy, and he gave with so much bhakti that Krishna accepted it. Krishna didn't say, wow. Because Krishna actually, he doesn't take these material ingredients. He doesn't need everything we offer materially, but everything we offer is our bhakti, actually. So we try to do our best, but the key ingredient is the bhakti. I remember this story. Bhakta Marko said about Radhanath Maharaj. He had this Christian preacher in his classes. So he, after some time, he came and he asked, what is the recipe for this halava? So he gave this recipe and he went back, and after 1 week he came back and he said, yes, I cooked according to your, what you said, and it was good, but not like yours. So tell me more. So he said, well, actually there is another ingredient. This halava is offered in loving devotion to God. So he went back. He went back, and after 1 week he came back and he said, yes, I tried the same thing. I offered in loving devotion to God, and it tasted a lot better. Yeah, because it's practical. It tastes a lot better. So the key ingredient is bhakti. The key ingredient is not this. You can make. You will probably not make a big Govardhan hill, because why would you? But if you would make it just because some material ideas, Krishna will. I don't need. I have better food in spiritual world. Srimati Radharani cooks better than all of us. But what he accepts is the bhakti. That's the most important ingredient. And other thing that Srila Prabhupada is quoting here in the purport is text 69 from chapter 18 in the Bhagavad Gita. So Srila Prabhupada quotes it a bit out of context. And the text says, there is no servant in this world more dear to me than he, nor will there ever be one more dear. So this is text 69, and who knows what's text 68. Chapter 18. Okay. Chapter 18, text 68. What does it say? It's very... Krishna says the text before that, for one who explains the supreme secret to the devotees, pure devotional service is guaranteed, and at the end he will come back to me. I read this text many times because it's classical for Sankirtan devotees, for preaching, the preachers, that okay, we have to share this. But I was reading today before the class and I was like, wow, pure devotional service is guaranteed, and at the end he will come back to me. Wow, that's a lot. That's a big promise. It's not just some play. So this is how we can satisfy Krishna by preaching, because this is a preaching movement, and sometimes we might even not remember that this is a preaching movement, but it is a preaching movement. And everything we do is somehow preaching activity. And it's good to remind ourselves that what we are doing is actually preaching. We can think we have prasadam distribution. Why do we distribute prasadam? Because people in Romania, my friends told me that Suhotra Maharaj came, and he said he thought the Romanians in the 90s were not very intelligent. So, so he said, you cannot speak philosophy to these people. So he said, these people are have potato brain. So if they have potato brain, you will make potato prasadam and distribute lots of potato prasadam. And after lots of potato prasadam, they will get the intelligence to understand something from Krishna consciousness. Everything, if we think a bit, then everything is somehow, in a way, done that we inspire someone to chant Hare Krishna, to practice Krishna consciousness. So this is our, everything we do, we can think about it and meditate on it, but everything we do is to inspire people to become Krishna conscious. Because our biggest asset, maybe only asset, I would say sometimes, but our biggest asset is our devotees. It's okay, we can have buildings, we can have, but what we're actually producing here is devotees. So we want to have many devotees, we want to have quality devotees also, not only many. And yeah, and a few stories from about Srila Prabhupada to illustrate this idea that the devotees are really important. One is about Tamal Krishna Maharaj. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj was the manager of the temple in of the Bombay temple. So he was practically the only one who could do something there. So after some while, he couldn't take it anymore. It was too much for him. So he just said to Srila Prabhupada, I'll go in the West and preach. So Srila Prabhupada said, what to do? Okay. Yeah. And then he went to the West, again to the US. He started his Radha Damodara preaching tours. And Srila Prabhupada came to America. And he was going to take him back. He was going to ask Tamal Krishna Maharaj, I need a manager in Bombay. Things are going bad and you have to come back. So this was Srila Prabhupada's idea. So he came, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj was well aware what was going on. And Srila Prabhupada was starting to go in this direction. What are you doing? Well, I'm preaching. And then Srila Prabhupada said, what's your preaching? What are the results of your preachings? You know, you're preaching. You're preaching, but what are you preaching? What are you doing there? Just touring around. And then Tamal Krishna Maharaj did something. He went to Srila Prabhupada's room, and he offered what is called a garland of devotees. He had the devotees because his preaching was really successful. He would he was awesome. There's so many stories about how just a side dish. He went to a temple and he bought five plane tickets or something like this, and he went for Sunday feast, and in Sunday feast he gave a class, and he said something that if someone wants to join Radha Damodara and become a full-time preacher, and he had five tickets, and this was him, you know. So he found one person after class. He said, "I will discuss with everyone who wants." He was very one-on-one. He would find, you like this, you like this, you will find, and he will convince people to surrender to Krishna. So many people, they just met him, and then they sell everything that day, and then go into the bus, and they, that's it. Finished. So then this day he would convince one person, two person, and there was one person missing, and they had one person who was, said, "I will think about it." So at 12 o'clock, he called that person, and this person was not sleeping because he was thinking, I should maybe just join. So at 12 o'clock, this person, he called this person, and he said, okay. He convinced. So he had five plane tickets, and he flew with five new devotees. I don't remember. And they all surrendered to Krishna. It was so powerful. Yeah. So then he offered, he liked also to do things a bit of show. He had first devotees, fresh tilak, dhoti, impeccable, you know, everyone was coming with a rose to Srila Prabhupada. 1, 2, 3, 10, I don't know how many. Some devotees. And then Srila Prabhupada said, okay, I will find someone else for Bombay. Because Srila Prabhupada was very happy to see devotees, to see people engaged in Krishna consciousness. And there's another example. I think it was in India somewhere, I don't remember. And Srila Prabhupada, there was some devotee, he did something, and Srila Prabhupada chastised him. And he got it a bit too much, and he left, you know. And Srila Prabhupada found out about this. And all day, whenever he met devotees, his name was Bhargava. He's telling this story in memories, Prabhupada memories. So Prabhupada, wherever he met the devotees, he said, "Where is Bhargava? Where is he? Did he come back?" So, you know, the whole day, he wasn't a sannyasi, he wasn't a big devotee. So where is this devotee? I didn't want him to leave, I just wanted to correct him. And did he come back? So whole day he was thinking, why this devotee? This insignificant devotee, what do you think? This devotee, no, nothing. He was not sannyas, no, not GBC. So Srila Prabhupada was really thinking, where is this devotee? Why did he go? Please come back. So in the evening, this devotee came back. And Srila Prabhupada was very happy. Because this is the asset we have, devotees. Otherwise, what's... And one more interesting thing, which is in this text from the Bhagavad Gita is Krishna also says, for one who is preaching to the devotees. He's not saying, oh, you have to just go in Sankirtan and preach to the someone. No, he says, preaching to the devotees. And there's this famous verse from Lord Chaitanya Yaredeka Tarekaha Krishna Upadesha Maragya Guru Hanatare Desha. So whoever you meet. So if you meet devotees, preach to the devotees. Tell them something about Krishna. And preaching, sometimes we tend to have this idea that preaching is, you know, stay on the Vyasa San, you give class, and yeah. Oh, I'm preaching, and after, I'm not preaching anymore. No, preaching is whatever you do that helps someone be more Krishna conscious is preaching. Yeah. I mean, he comes to the temple, he likes the prasadam. That's preaching. He comes to the temple, he likes, wow, that was such a nice kirtan. Wow, that's such nice music. That's preaching. He comes in front and he sees someone smiling. Hello, how are you? Nice to meet you. Yeah, okay, first time here? Yes. Oh, nice. We're so happy you're here. Oh, please come. Oh. This is preaching. Yeah, this whatever helps someone become more Krishna conscious is preaching. And we have to have this mood. We have to think that, okay, someone is coming to the temple. We're very happy that he's coming. This is what we are doing. And there's some results. He has come. So we have to see that, oh, we want to help him become more Krishna conscious. That's everything we do. So, we can discuss with him, talk to him about Krishna, maybe in the beginning you don't talk about Krishna so much. Hi, how are you? How's your job? Oh, I have one friend in, I heard so many things about what's going on in Microsoft. Or, I don't care what's going on in Microsoft, but okay. he had to tell me, so I said, okay. And then after I tell him some things about Krishna, okay. Finally, he takes some books, he becomes more devoted, and he tells me less about what's going on in Microsoft, because I really don't care what's going on in Microsoft. But anyway, it's so many things we do to help people become more Krishna conscious. Even with the devotees, sometimes devotees have a bad day. Because Krishna consciousness is nice, except there are some unpleasant parts. There is one part which is called Anartha Nivritti. And this is not so pleasant. Because the impurities from our mind, they go out, come out, and our mind is sometimes, ooh. So we can just, even this, we can just be friendly to people, try to help them. So this is preaching. This is preaching to the non-devotees, but also to the devotees, to everyone in the temple, because everyone needs some help sometimes. So this because now Prabhupada Marathon is coming, so the secret to a good Prabhupada Marathon is happy devotees. It's a good community, it's a nice community, because what we are really sharing, what the people don't have is Prahladananda Maharaj said, we're selling bliss. We have our bliss, and when they see us blissful, they will take a book, they will say, I don't know what you're speaking, but I see you're blissful, so I want what you have. I don't understand, I don't care about India, karma, reincarnation, but I see you're blissful, so I will take the book, because you must be doing something right. So this is our main ingredient, and it's very nice. Prabhupada Marathon is a time for everyone to to do something, to distribute some books, to see, to give this bliss to people. It's so nice, such a nice atmosphere when everyone has this preaching spirit. It's so nice environment. Of course, everyone has some limitations, some capabilities, but everyone should think, okay, how can I distribute some books in this marathon? I have a book table, I do Harinam, I do some Shastradan, I call some friends, hey, we have some nice books, do you want to? You can think about it, but yeah, it's nice. And okay, for preaching, the most important, the most important quality is compassion. The most important thing is that we want to help these persons. And there is a saying that I don't care how much you know until I know you care. So, if people are looking for this compassion, and we want to develop this compassion, that okay, I don't really want to do this. I'm a bit tired. These people are coming. Why they are coming? I'm tired. I don't want to smile, but I will smile. Hello, hi, how are you? Nice to meet you. Compassion means to do something you don't want to do because you want to help others. Yeah, so this is the compassion. I'll just give one example of this compassion and the effort sometimes we need to put to make one devotee. Srila Prabhupada says it takes pounds and gallons of blood to make one devotee. It takes some effort, because people are very far from devotional consciousness. And we were in this year in Ratha Yatra in Zagreb. And after the Ratha Yatra, Prahladananda Maharaj gave a class. And someone said, the day after, someone said, yeah, yesterday it was such a nice Ratha Yatra, during questions and comments. And he said, I found, we met one person who was very interested and like this, something. And Maharaj said something like, if we find one person like this, we are prepared to do 1,000 of Ratha Yatras. 1,000. Like, this should be our mood to make some effort to reach out to people. Shortly. Other classic example is the example of Ramanujacharya. There's so many Vaishnavas that have this state of mind that they take so many difficulties to help others. So it's well-known story about Ramanujacharya who received the secret mantra from his guru. So his guru said, this is secret mantra, don't tell it to anyone. So what Ramanuja said, because it can liberate anyone who hears. And Sir Ramanuja said, whoa, it can liberate anyone. Yes, 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 yes. Really? Yes. Okay. So he said, okay, hello. He went to Mamarkal and said, hello, everyone. Stop. Okay, we have this secret, we have this mantra that will liberate everyone. Okay, yes. Indians, maybe they were a bit more pious. So he told them the secret mantra. And so then his guru found out. And he said, what's this? You disobey the instructions of your guru. You're going to hell. And Ramanuja said, okay, I'm going to hell. No problem. But these people are liberated at least. So I'm very happy. So this is the mood of a preacher. Of course, we cannot, don't try to imitate this. but something we can take something of this, this mood of preaching from the great devotees. Okay. Thank you. I'll stop here. If we have comments, questions, not too tough, please.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the nice class, especially before the marathon for our society. Interesting points from the purport you brought up, and I have some questions. There Prabhupada says one sentence in the purport is that therefore any activity performed for the Supreme Lord is permanent. So how is it permanent if sometimes we see it's actually gone? The result is gone, the activity is gone, and sometimes even the person is gone. So
the effect is permanent because we make permanent progress in devotional service. It's not so much the Govardhan prasadam was eaten, so that's obvious. But the satisfaction of Krishna is permanent, and the effect and our advancement in bhakti is permanent. So that's what I understand.
I have another question. In that verse you quoted, that one attains pure devotional service. So in that verse, Mad Bhaktesha Bidhasyati, Krishna says, one who explains the secret of pure devotional service to my devotees. So I wonder, why does it say my devotees in the Gita? And how do we then do this on the street or to...
How do we do this on the street? Huh?
I mean, but when we try to preach...
Yeah, this is a good question. I don't know where... Prabhupada translates this, so I have to trust Srila Prabhupada.
It's in the Sanskrit, Bhaktesha also.
The idea is that they are not... people on the street, they are not devotees. That's the problem. But we are taught to act on the Madhyama platform. So on the Madhyama platform, we have superiors, and we are showing our respect to them. We have equals, and we have friendship and cooperation. We cooperate with them to spread Krishna consciousness. And we have people, inferiors, people who don't know about Krishna, who are new to Krishna consciousness. And these people are in two positions. It's either they are inimical or they are innocent. So if they are inimical, we just avoid them. And if they are innocent, we try to help them, because they are somehow, they are going to be, wannabe devotees, something like this. So we have to be very, to be able to distinguish who is inimical, who is innocent. So we have to test a few things. Usually we do this by testing. Prahladananda Maharaj says, we ask them for a donation. So then you will see who's demoniac. But we don't have to tell them the whole details all of a sudden. We don't have to say, oh, Krishna is God, you surrendered. We see, we spoon feed them. We give something, see how they respond. If they don't respond properly, and the weather is nice also. And like this, some we feed them, see how much they can handle. Because there's this problem that if we preach to non-devotees, there will be problems. Especially if you have to meet them after. I didn't really preach, but it happened to me before I, because I was working in a job and my boss found out. some that I was devotee. Probably I was a bit too sectarian. So he found out, and I had to hear some offenses the whole day. So then I just quit. Anyway, probably it was good for me. But this can happen if you preach to non-devotees. They will say, oh, Krishna, Radha, yeah, I know. So they will say stupid things. So, okay, I don't know if that's...
Thank you. Ranjan Swami says that we look at them, as you mentioned, as potential devotees.
Potential devotees, yeah.
So then, this was... Because I understood a little bit different your question. Like, how to connect, because Krishna said that he specially favor those who preach to devotees. So how to connect when you go on the street, if you are doing mostly Sankirtan, Seva, how to connect this, or you cannot be favored? Or...
Yeah, but...
Do you understand?
Yeah, more in this direction. This Sankirtan makes devotees. Books makes devotees. Many times you see. So you are preaching to devotees who will be devotees. A classic example of this is Dhruva Maharaj. So you had I always forget which was the good mother and the bad mother. Suruchi was his stepmother. Huh? Okay. So Suruchi, she offended Dhruva Maharaj. Yeah? And Dhruva was not a devotee. It was very interesting. He was not a devotee. He was a 5-year-old child who was playing around. And she offended this Dhruva Maharaj, this 5-year-old child. And then Dhruva Maharaj, he went to the forest and he meditated, and he met Narada Muni, and he started meditating, and he became a great devotee. And he came back, and Dhruva, he didn't take any of this personally, but it's clear there that Suruchi, she had some karmic, some reactions because of offending Dhruva. He wasn't a devotee, even if he wasn't a devotee. But she offended that he will be a devotee. This is somehow extreme. But, yeah, so you are preaching to a future devotee. Many, many times you are preaching to future devotees. I was made a devotee by Srila Prabhupada's books. Many others probably. Marcel, who found these deep books in the trash. So, because Srila Prabhupada's books are making devotees, so this is preaching. If this is not preaching, Prabhupada says, what will your 1 hour preaching do? 3 minutes or something. But if he reads one page, then his life may be changed. Oh, it's practical. I mean, I met the devotees, they were nice. I didn't take it really seriously. But when I started reading the Bhagavad Gita, I was like, wow. So, yeah. I don't know if I answered.
Thank you, Prabhu, for the class and for reminding us how important it is to preach, to tell people about Krishna. I was thinking of Srila Prabhupada. He said, yes, we preach, and sometimes we use words. So Prabhupada wanted to make it clear that who we are speaks much more than what we speak, which means we must walk our talk, you know, we must practice what we preach, and then we will be effective. So that's one thing that comes to mind. And another thing, discussion between our two senior devotees here about, you know, when Krishna is saying, whoever preaches this to the devotees, from Krishna's point of view, everyone is a devotee. We are not devotees. But in Krishna's eyes, you know, we are all his children, and he wants us to come back to him. So that's my take on it. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Sense.
Thank you. Okay. Anything else? Okay. Thank you so much. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.